Well, I know it's not, we're well past Easter, and but I want to look at one of the stories that took place just before the crucifixion. In fact, it's the time that Jesus was arrested. Because what I love about the Word of God is there's so many times we read things, we just kind of read past some of the things and don't really take note of the significance of the importance of what's taking place. But I want to read the story to you. This is Jesus' arrest, and this is from the book of John, John chapter 18. It says when he'd finished praying, and he had just been praying, and was praying with the disciples. And it says, when he'd finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive garden, and he and his disciples went into it. So Jesus, one of the great things about the book of John is chapters 15, 16, and 17 are just the great prayers of Jesus Christ, prayers for us, prayers for the church, just great prayers. He finishes those. He is with his disciples. They cross over the Kidron Valley, and they're going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is the place where on that week, during that week before his crucifixion, that Garden of Gethsemane, he's been at Bethany. He goes into Jerusalem every day, and every night he comes back out and goes back to Bethany. And he spends a lot of time here in the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't know why that's so hard today. And it says here in verse number 2, now Judas, who betrayed him, now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place where Jesus had often met with the disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. So we got a detachment here, and this is an armed detachment that is coming because, of course, Judas has betrayed Jesus. And Judas is taking this armed detachment to find Jesus. Judas knows every day Jesus is in Jerusalem every night. He's coming back to Bethany, and he's always spending time with the disciples here in the Garden of Gethsemane. So Jesus, knowing all that was going on and was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, who is it you want? So here comes Judas. Here comes that armed detachment. And they're bringing lights, lanterns, weapons. They're bringing a whole detachment to arrest Jesus. And Jesus sees them coming and knows what's coming. He knew this was coming. And he asked them, who are they looking for? Now, here's some of those verses that we just kind of roll over sometimes. And don't really stop to consider the significance of what's being said. So picture this in your mind. Here's Jesus. He's at the garden. He's with his disciples. And if you've been or seen pictures of the garden, if you've seen pictures of the whole Mount of Olives, as Jesus, you have to go up. It's a little bit of an incline. It's just across the Jerusalem. There's a valley, the Kidron Valley, between Jerusalem and then up this Mount of Olives. And there's still a lot of olive trees there even today. So he can see them coming. It's not like there's a heavily forested area in Jerusalem. He can see them all coming, and he knows what's happening. And so they come up this hill, and he sees them coming with all their weapons and everything. And he asks who they're looking for. Verse number 5 says their answer, Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. Now listen to this. I am he, Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with him. When Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and they fell to the ground. Again he asked, who is it you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. I told you that I am he, Jesus answered. If you are looking for me, then let these men go. All right, now, I want to read this from the Amplified Bible as well. So in verse number 18, then Jesus, knowing all that was about to befall him. So we're picking this up in verse number 4. Here's Jesus. He sees the detachment with Judas coming. He knows why they're coming. He knows what's in front of him. Then Jesus, knowing all that was about to befall him, went out to them. So he's actually going towards them. It's the heart. You know what I love about this? Jesus knows. It says he knows what's coming. He just spent that time in the garden. And with that agonizing time in the garden where he'd ask the disciples to stay with him, he asked Peter, James, and John to wait with him, to watch and to pray because he knew what was coming. And that's when we see Jesus even saying, Father, if it's possible for this cup to pass, let it be. But your will be done, not mine. So he embraces that which he knows is the will of the Father. And he embraces what he knows is coming. And there's no man, This is God, but this is God in the flesh. This is God as a man. There is no man that wants to endure what Jesus knew he was going to have to endure and what he was about to endure. And yet once he knew that this was, and he gave himself over to that, he embraces his role in what he has to do. He knows what's coming, but it says he went out to them. He sees them coming, and he goes out to them. This is not Jesus just waiting for what's going to happen. This is Jesus embracing what's going to happen, embracing his role, embracing himself as a sacrifice lamb for you and for me. He's not waiting for it to happen. He is going to them. That's an amazing image, but it gets even better. And he went out to them and he said, "Who are you seeking? Whom do you want?" Again, this is the Amplified Bible. They answered him, "Jesus, the Nazarene." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who was betraying him, was also standing with them. Now, listen to this. Because I want you to see what's happening. Picture this in your mind. He's there in the garden. He's there on the Mount of Olives. He sees the detachment of men, armed men, coming to arrest him. He sees Judas is there as well. He knows what's happening. He knows what's coming. He walks down to them and he addresses them and says, "Who do you want? Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "I am he." Now, as he says, "I am he," it says they went backwards. They drew back, they lurched backward, and they fell to the ground. You know, we just read over that sometimes and don't really stop to think about what's happening here. They come up with their multitude, their numbers. They come up with the authority that they have, both from the Roman government, but also in this regard, they have the authority of all the Jewish high priests. They have the power people in the Jewish faith. They're armed with all the authority. They're armed with actual weapons. They come to Jesus. It's one against this detachment. They identify who they're looking for. Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" He wants them to set it up so he can name who he is. "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "I am he." As he says, "I am," as he identifies himself as the I am he, as he makes that bold statement and proclamation, there's a physical thing that takes place at that moment. And all of those men that had come up to him, they went backwards. They drew back. They lurched backwards. It's not like they took, you know, this is not like they took a step backwards. Oh my goodness. And this is not a mental response. This is a spiritual response manifested in the physical realm. Jesus identifies himself as God. And by making that pronouncement, there was a spiritual response that manifested in the physical realm, where they actually lurched backwards. I mean, picture somebody being grabbed and pulled backwards. That's the way it felt for all those men. I mean, so much so. It's not like they took a step backwards. They lurched backwards and fell to the ground. Now, what does this tell you about Judas and all these soldiers? Man, what have they got to be thinking? Jesus says, "I am he." And at the speaking of who he is, the pronouncement of himself as God, because that's what he's saying when he says, "I am," he's announcing himself as God. And at that pronouncement, it's like they're pulled backwards. They lose their footing. They're knocked back and knocked to the ground. As they have to get up and take him, do you think there was some hesitation? And do you think that put some thoughts in their minds about what are we doing? And who is this man? Do you think they were telling stories for years later when they said, I've arrested a lot of people. I went to arrest this Jesus of Nazareth. He said, "I am." Boom. All of us, our entire detachment, knocked to the ground. That's the power. That's the power of who Jesus is. And this is why it's significant. Because what Jesus said is, "I am he." Now, that should sound familiar to us. Because when we go back into the story of Moses, and when Moses was in the wilderness and had run away from Israel. Or, I'm sorry, run away from Egypt. And he's being prepared, and God is about to call him to go and deliver the Israelites from the bondage that they were in Egypt. And so we know the story of Moses and the burning bush. And let me just read a couple of verses here. So Moses is there. He's called by God to the burning bush, the bush which is on fire but not being consumed. This is what it says in verse number 13. And Moses said to God, "Behold, when I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" See, Moses is kind of confronting God here and saying, "You want me to do this? Well, what's going to happen? I mean, you want me to go and speak to the... I've been gone for years, for a generation. I've been gone. I'm supposed to go back. How? They're not going to give me any credibility. And who do I say? I say the God of their fathers. Who do I say you are?" Now, here's the response of God. This is one of those great statements of the Bible. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am, and what I am, and I will be what I will be." And he said, "You shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent you.'" This is that great quote-unquote "I am" statement. God identifies who he is. This is the revelation of God as to who he is. This is God revealing himself. Well, this is the same thing we see Jesus saying and doing when they come to capture him, when they come to take him from the Mount of Olives. They come, they ask for Jesus. Jesus says, "Oh, I am. I am he." He is making that same revelation, that same revelatory statement that God himself made. This is God revealing himself in the same way that God revealed himself to Moses. And he said, "Hey, when you go to the Israelites, you tell them, 'I am sent you. I am that I am.'" Jesus said to them, "I am." There's power in the revelation of who God is. And you see that power. You saw it in the burning bush. You saw it in the evidence of all the great exploits of God in the book of Exodus. As he said, "You tell them, 'I am.'" And you see it right here as Jesus reveals, even to those men who came with religious authority, who came to arrest him, and when he revealed himself and said, "I am," they're knocked backwards and knocked to the ground. It's the amazing power of that revelation. To know the name of God, to know the name of God is to experience the manifestations and the power of the name of God. God revealed his name to Moses in the same way Jesus, as God, reveals himself, reveals his name to all these men. And there was a manifestation of the power of God by that revelatory moment, by that revelation. This is God revealing himself to you and I, even as we read this today. There is power in the revelation of who God is. When you realize today, on your Monday, as you look ahead towards this week, now you can look at the problems of the week, you can look at your fears and your concerns, or you can look and you can see, you can look with eyes of expectancy. And you can look and see who is your God, Jesus Christ. And know the power that is in the name of Jesus, that is in the name of Jesus. In the same way that God revealed himself to Moses and said, "You tell the Israelites, 'I am that I am.'" In the same way that God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, revealed himself and said, I am he." There is that manifestation of power. There's a manifestation of power in your life today when you realize who Jesus is. He reveals himself to us, and he's revealing himself to us in the Word. Spend some time in the Word today, but when you realize there's a revelation, and your thoughts are upon, and there's a revelation, a reality in who Jesus is, within that revelation, there is a manifestation of his power in your life. That's what we need to see. Those are the beautiful verses from John chapter 18. Again, verses that we just read and overlook. But there's a power in the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a power in the revelation of his name, of who he is in your life today. He's revealing himself to you. Recognize that. And in that revelatory moment, experience the manifestation of that power in your life.